Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, where software meets hardware, lessons learned from building intelligent connected products. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers Leon Ferrisotti from Qualcomm and Tom Thornton from Intrinsic Technologies. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation material, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too. And one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Our speakers today are Leon Ferrisotti and Tom Thornton. Leon is a director of product management for Qualcomm Technologies within the IoT business unit, where he's responsible for the Snapdragon embedded computing products. Leon has more than 15 years of experience in various design engineering and product management roles in the computing industry. Prior to joining Qualcomm, he spent 6 years at NVIDIA Corporation, where he served as product manager in charge of graphics processor platforms. Leon holds a Bachelor's of Applied Science in Computer Engineering from the University of Waterloo in Canada and a Master's degree in Management Science and Engineering from Stanford. Tom Thornton is a Solutions Architect for Intrinsic Technologies, where he's responsible for system architecture development and client technical engagement. Tom has more than 15 years of electronics and systems engineering experience with the embedded and mobile industries. Prior to joining Intrinsic, he spent 5 years at Light-Based Technologies, an LED startup focused on smart lighting solutions, where he was responsible for product architecture and customer technical solutions, as well as 8 years at Motorola, where he served as a senior design engineer, developing next-generation cellular network equipment. Tom holds a master's degree in electronics engineering from the University of Wales, Cardiff. Welcome, gentlemen. Leon will be kicking things off today. Leon, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Kurt. I would also like to welcome everyone to this webinar. It's a pleasure to be here. This is great because this is one of those things where I get to share a journey with you all today. And this is the journey of us taking something that's very successful at Qualcomm, the Snapdragon processor in the mobile space, and bringing into these additional applications and these adjacent markets where we as a whole, we call embedded. And it also happens to be the journey of my career at Qualcomm, where we set out to take this processor and really prep it and enable it to go into these adacent markets. So this is very nice for me, and I appreciate everyone taking the time today to listen to us. And if you're one of those people who tend to doze off on these webinars, maybe the three things that I hope you remember from today's webinar and the small amount of time that I have before I hand it off to my colleague Tom, is that it really takes long-term commitment to be successful in these markets. If I go back last few years, we really dug deep to find out what we need to do to be successful in this model and in these broad markets. So that's my number one. Number two is really the goal and the objective that we have is we want to take Snapdragon as a successful mobile processor and enable and scale it into the embedded markets. And I'm going to share with you what are some of the things that we have put in place to make that happen. And then number three for me is one of those key things, one of the key pillars of our program is our Snapdragon technology providers. One of them is here with us, Intrinsic. They've been with us since the very beginning of this program, and they're really the ones that are going to go the last mile, that they're going to create solutions and they're going to help the end customers commercialize. So those are my top three things. With that, I'm going to go to my first slide. So I really like this slide because, you know, we all talk about Internet of Things or IoT. And, you know, this slide, to me, illustrates just the broad scope of IoT. The fact that everyone has a different number and everyone thinks of it maybe slightly differently. Some folks include, you know, software, services, cloud. Some folks are talking about devices. But if you look at the numbers, you know, it's interesting they all end with the letter T. And that tells me that everyone agrees on one thing, that this is a huge opportunity, and there's a lot of ways to be successful and to be part of this wave that we call IoT. From our perspective, from Qualcomm's perspective, I think we have a number of technologies that we have in our umbrella for IoT. So we look at it from anything from a connected sensor all the way to some a device that has a high-level processing capability with a high-level operating system. And that end of the spectrum is where we believe Snapdragon is going to play and be very successful. Now, I mentioned that we are leveraging the technologies that we created for mobile, for smartphones. And one of our key strategies in the smartphone space was to take a number of advanced technologies like CPU, GPU, location, connectivity, multimedia, and integrated into a single SoC. And that has a lot of advantages. It gives you a lot of leverage to improve performance, to improve energy efficiency, and also be able to have a small size SoC that can do a whole lot of things. So that was more of the recipe I think that made us successful in the smartphone space, and we're really bringing that integration and that integrated SoC into the embedded space. And then if you look at some of the areas where we're seeing a lot of interest from the industry on Snapdragon processors, it's very broad. You have anything from robotics, and you know, robotics obviously is also a very large field, where you have industrial robotics and drones and all that stuff, to medical imaging devices, where you know you see those large hospital equipment. A lot of times there's an advantage to make those devices more portable and take it to remote places. So it varies quite a bit. Anything from small little wearable devices with intelligence, all the way to you know, large industrial applications. We see opportunity for our processor to play a role. And so now on the back to the technical side of things. So it's great, you know, there's a lot of applications where we think Snapdragon is going to play, but there are going to be some challenges, and these are the type of challenges that we have been studying over the last few years, and we have engineered our embedded program to really reduce the barriers to using our processor. So obviously, you know, in many of these applications, you need high performance in a very small form factor. A lot of times, that's a requirement. You also have low power requirements. A lot of these IoT devices are battery powered, where energy efficiency is really important. Is, you know, you don't want to carry something, or you don't want to have something that's gonna only last for a couple of hours. So that combination of performance, small form factor, and low power obviously plays into the strength of Snapdragon. But then on the other side, you also you know, need to be able to take this processor and really design it into your product. And you know, as an engineer, you know, I know what some of those challenges are. And you know, we went in and we looked at how can we you know, make it easier whether it's through these SOMs, these what we call system on modules, where you can take those, or a single board computer where you can take those and easily incorporate it into your product, or if you are creating a new design from scratch, giving you all the tools and everything you need in order to be successful. So that's really the motivation behind my next slide, which is, well, Leon, what have you guys done? What are you doing differently for embedded versus your core mobile smartphone offering? These are the main ones, and I try to basically group them into 8 things. And number one, and this is really one of the first things we realized, was we couldn't do this on our own. We needed partners, and we needed folks to could be could go after many different verticals, could go create solutions in different regions and different types of applications. And we realized there's no way that we can do this on our own. So Snapdragon Technology Providers was really one of the first things that we put in place. The other thing we kept hearing when we first started this was longevity. If you look at one of the key differentiators of the broad embedded versus the smartphone market, is that the design cycles tend to be longer, and the product cycles tend to be much longer. So putting in place longevity on specific Snapdragon processors where we could commit to long-term availability was one of the main things that we started working on, and we have put in place for our embedded portfolio, which I'm going to talk about really quickly in my next slide. And then the rest of this is some of the things that are proven in the industry. For example, having a very strong ecosystem around components, around software. Also having a community board. I'm going to talk about really quickly in my last slide. And finally, having a distribution partner. So we have been working strategically with Arrow Electronics on making all our solutions available globally to the broad markets. So these are some of the key ingredients that we have been working on, and I'll be happy to expand on any of these if you'd like in the Q&A session. The two processors, I will not get into all the details of the processors because we have all of this on our developer site, developer.qualcomm.com. You can go and look at the two processors that we have enabled in this market, Snapdragon 410, Snapdragon 600. These two have a lot of great characteristics from performance standpoint, from feature set, as well as longevity, that a long life cycle that I talked about. And then I mentioned our community board. One of the most important things for us was having a strong ecosystem around our Snapdragon processor. And we realized that we need to have a centerpiece in order to enable the community. And the centerpiece for that, and we are going to do a community board for each one of our embedded processors, the first one being Snapdragon 410. We have created Dragon Board 410C in partnership with Arrow Electronics, as well as 96 Boards, which is a hardware subsidiary of Lenaro. And what we've done here is we adopted the 96 Boards standard, open hardware standard, and we put out a inexpensive board available globally, running multiple operating systems. So you have Android, Linux, and Windows 10 IoT running on this one board. All of the documentation as well as software and everything you need is available publicly on our developer website. And the beauty of this is with the 96 boards standard, you're going to have a lot of these what they call mezzanine cards where you can plug on top of the Dragon board and get additional functionality. So I encourage you to check this out. We have a very active forum on 96 boards where you can ask questions, and if you have a project that you're working on. So anything from a hobbyist application all the way to a customer type evaluation, prototyping can be done on this board easily with all the documentation, tools, and software available on our website. And then, so I talked about community. My last slide really covers how we how we take that and turn it into a real commercial application. And this kind of circles back to my first point, is that we rely on our technology providers to really help go to the last mile. With Snapdragon going commercial. So this is the concept of and my colleague Tom is going to go through this, is a number of modules and single board computers based on our embedded processors, where you could take and just create your product around it. The hardware is ready. It's ready for production. You can order it in any quantity you need, and you get the software, you get everything you need to go create a product around it. And also, if you had maybe something that required a custom design, all the partners can help you with customization and even a purely custom design. So really well-structured commercialization path from using Dragon Board as your evaluation prototyping tool all the way to perhaps using one of the SOMs or the modules or a single board computers, all the way to creating your own product and procuring the chipsets from our distribution partner, Aero Electronics. So that's the model. I hope our hope and our goal is to see a lot of cool products. There's so many things we haven't thought of that could use our processor. So our goal is to see those and see some of these cool ideas go into production. With that, I'm going to pass it off to my colleague Tom from Intrinsic, and he's going to tell you a little bit about what they've done and some examples of their projects and the cool applications that they have enabled. It's all yours, Tom.
Thank you, Liam. So, as Liam's mentioned, we're one of the technology partners with Qualcomm on the Snapdragon products. We've been there since the beginning of the program, enabling the Snapdragon products into the embedded market space. And what I'll be doing is talking a little bit about the process of and using these Snapdragon processors in the embedded market, how you go about selecting which Snapdragon, which SoC fits your specific product needs, how that reflects on what operating systems suit your market, where that decision impacts your product, what options you have, and then some differentiators that can influence both the SoC choice, the operating system choice, and so on. And then I'd finish with a case study, so an example of one of the products that we've supported our embedded customers with right from concept through to production. So starting out, one of the things that is perhaps different about the embedded market versus the mobile is the product range, the product offering is a wide variety of field. It's not just one product. It's not just a smartphone. And defining that product up front is one of the things that is key for the success of any product in the embedded market. The diagram here really is just showing there's a lot of decisions that need to be made and focusing on the elements of that design that differentiate your product and will enable it to be successful in the market is one of the key things to focus on the up front. What are the key features and functionality that you're bringing to your specific market, and how will that make your product a success? A corollary of that is how are you going to decide what are the must-haves, what are the nice-to-haves, how are you going to select the various options for your product and move forward? Things like within, as Liam mentioned, there are development kits, there are Dragon Boards. We offer development kits. You can do things like field trials to evaluate your key performance requirements of your product. Moving on, selecting the SoC, as Leon mentioned, there are lots of Snapdragon SoCs available, two of them which, as he points out, have been designated as long-term designed for longevity parts. Qualcomm have put a lot of resource and development behind these two chipsets. They offer multiple operating systems, Android, Linux, and now Windows IoT as an option. There are a variety of dev kits. He mentioned one, the Dragonboard 410. There are others. We support dev kits, SOMs, that will take you from your development all the way through to production. The SOMs are production ready. And then there are another class of Snapdragons that we also support. These are more transitional. They offer different features, but the one thing that they do not offer is their longevity. So depending on your product, some embedded IoT products still, lifetime is not necessarily the be-all and end-all. Selecting the right operating system is one of the key differentiators between the embedded markets and the mobile phone and smartphone markets. The mobile phone and smartphone markets obviously heavily dominated by the Android operating system, and all that breadth of support, features, and functionality is available on the Snapdragon processors coming to the embedded markets. But there are a few key differentiators between the embedded markets and the mobile phone that might push you to use a different operating system. There are questions like, do you need a real-time operating system? If your market really does require true real-time operating systems, then maybe you need to use Linux and with some of the real-time operating extensions. Is there do you have a legacy code base from pre-existing products that you need to port and the support in the field? As Leon mentioned, embedded products tend to have a really long lifetime compared to the mobile phone markets, and there's extensive backlog of, not backlog, extensive library of features and features, functionality that has already been developed that you don't want to reinvent. That might push you to a different operating system. And then there are different markets. Some markets strongly favor one operating system versus the other that might dictate which operating system you support. In terms of the three here that I have listed, Android comes with the whole support community, huge library support from the Android operating system. The media frameworks, the driver support is extensive. There's a regular updates to newer operating system versions. And there's a large third-party solution offering. So in a lot of cases, you may not need to develop from ground up a particular feature, functionality solution. There might be a third-party library, a third-party application that you can leverage from the open source community. And in terms of Snapdragon features and functionality, because of the mobile phone heritage of the Snapdragon, features and functionality with respect to the Snapdragon, they tend to lead from the Android and then Linux and Windows operating systems follow on behind. Linux, it's a very widely known, well-respected operating system for the embedded markets, supported on the Snapdragon chipsets. In terms of the embedded parts that Leon mentions, the 410 and the 600, the upscale community supports Linux based on Linaro. They offer BSP, development kits, and again, there's a wide variety of third-party libraries that can be implemented. And then there's Windows IoT, which is a new operating system, just been brought up on the Snapdragon 410. It's, again, new to the embedded market, but lagging behind in terms of Android and OS. But there are key markets that may want to use Windows. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about how you go about selecting which Snapdragon fits your market need, features and functionality of those different chipsets. And here I'll talk about three. I'll focus on three, the 410, the 600, and the 820. in terms of both hardware and software that may influence your decision and which chipset and which operating system you pick for your product. I picked these three, the two because they're the long-term support, and then the 820 is the latest and greatest Snapdragon offering on the market. The 410, it's a new 64-bit processor. It supports, as you can see, USB 2, 802.11 wireless. It offers dedicated I/O for both wired and wireless. Moving up to the 600, you gain faster I/O, you gain more I/O. Depending on your application, if you need to support multiple different devices concurrently, that's one advantage of the Snapdragon 600 that you might want to be considering. The 820, the advantage here from both wired and wireless connectivity options, you get much faster. You go up to USB 3, you gain PCIe, you gain multiple PCIe interfaces, and then you gain the option of even faster wireless standards with 802.11ad. Connectivity, you're pushing, the capabilities of the chipsets increase from one to the other. You get larger number of I/O and you get faster I/O. And in both cases, in Android and Linux, network and connectivity options are well understood, well supported. Obviously, the underlying aspects of Android is Linux, so reference drivers from peripheral component vendors can either be used directly for Linux or very easy to integrate into an Android operating system. Another aspect, obviously coming from the mobile phone back phase, is what media do you need to process? The Snapdragon processors integrate a lot of different hardware blocks within the SoC for handling different kinds of media. I touch on three here, camera, video, and display. And again, the different processors offer different features and functionality that you might want to tailor to, and influence your decision in terms of picking the right chipset and operating system. The Snapdragon 410 has a single ISP, two MIPI camera ports, so you can support up to two cameras. Resolution, again, up to 1080p, HD resolution, and a single display. Great for targeted, single, small form factor devices. In the same way as with the wired and wireless connectivity options, the 600 increases the number of I/O ports that are available. You can connect directly to multiple displays. You have multiple different display technologies. It supports MIPI DSi from native from the mobile, but it also supports HDMI, dual LVDS for different panel technologies. It expands on the options that you can support. Then with the 820, big, huge jump in performance. You get dual ISPs, you can support three, four cameras. You support 4K, the Ultra HD resolutions at 60 frames per second. You support newer codec standards for bandwidth and efficiency. So that combined hand in hand with the faster I/O and faster wireless and Wi-Fi means you can live stream high definition content. Your connectivity options are vastly improved. In terms of operating systems, again, big advantages here for Android, obviously coming from the mobile phones, the framework, the applications, the support for all these advanced features, it has already been developed on the Android side. Linux, again, it can be developed. The support is there at the base level, but you need to be thinking about you're going to be needing to implement frameworks, applications, more involved development cycles in terms of media with these chipsets. Moving on, another aspect of the Snapdragon processors is the fact that they support CPU, DSP, and GPU, and tailoring the data that you need to crunch on your device. The framework exists. They are true heterogeneous processors, so you can push the algorithms to the appropriate hardware block for processing. There are open source, OpenGLES for rendering, OpenCL for compute platforms. And with each of the Snapdragon processors, you gain more and more processing power as you step up the series. Things like the Snapdragon 410, great for power-efficient, dedicated, single complex tasks, but single-function complex task processing. The Snapdragon 820, much more powerful, much more complicated tasks, multi-threading tasks, multi-processing tasks. You've got much more bandwidth. In terms of DSP capabilities, you can develop custom algorithms. There's the Hexagon SDK that enables you to port your algorithm to run on the low power, high efficiency, real-time operating system running on the DSP. And then there are additional SDKs that come with, that are available under Android, things like Adreno SDK for optimizing your graphics and rendering to run on the GPU. There's FastCV, optimizations from the OpenCV, but running on the DSP for computer vision algorithms. All of these frameworks, again, leading again on the Android, Linux supported, but again, you're going to be doing more development if you run Linux on these platforms. With bearing those things in mind, I'd like to talk briefly about one case example in terms of a development of an embedded product from concept to production that we've implemented with one of our clients. This is a glasses-free 3D TV. The client had been developing their solution based on a Windows PC, huge PC, x86 processor, huge GPU graphics, and they had a proof of concept, a demo platform that they had. But obviously they couldn't fit that device into a TV. And until the Snapdragon processors became available, they hadn't been able to find a processor capable of running their algorithms in the mobile space. Snapdragon came along, was enabled in the embedded field, and we were able to show that their algorithms could be run on a mobile processor. We could tailor their algorithms to run on the ARM using the Neon instruction set and go through a whole product development cycle from concept. This started out with a proof of concept, so we took their PC and ported key elements of their algorithm to run on one of the development kits. In this case, it was the Dragon Board 800. That was great for showing the proof of concept. You could hook that up to a panel, but it's still not ready for production. The next stage of that is optimization. We removed functionality from the development kit to create a custom designed solution, tailored solution that would fit in the back of a TV. But still, great for limited production runs, great for demos. You can get it into the form factor of a TV, but still not ready for mass production in the TV markets. The next step beyond that was to take the SOM plus carrier board, the custom prototype platform, and merge it into a truly single board computer. This is where we take all the peripheral boards, all the functionality, all the software, and merge it onto a single board computer. And this development cycle has been a multi-year development cycle. So, as Leon mentioned, development and then production are longer in terms of the embedded markets. It takes time, and you need the support from the Snapdragon, from the Qualcomm, which you get with the Snapdragon processors, to do the development and then go into a long production cycle. And finally, just quickly talking about who Intrinsic is, what we do, what solutions we offer. We are a product development company. We offer a variety of development platforms based on the Snapdragon. We have embedded development platforms based around a variety of different Snapdragon chipsets. We offer these are generally available open platforms based on a system or module that is then production ready. And going back to the previous example, one of these SOMs was used in that proof of prototype demonstration where you have the SOM plus the custom carrier board tailored for that specific market. We have vertical development platforms these are targeted development kits, again, based around the Snapdragons for different markets or automotive development platforms, targeting the automotive, running Android Auto. There are wearable. We have a wearable camera platform, again, targeting that wearable security camera application. And then drone UAV platforms running Linux, again, a different Snapdragon processor, but supporting the robotics markets. And finally, we are a global company. We're headquartered in Vancouver. We have design offices in Vancouver, Boulder, Colorado, and Taipei, Taiwan. Sales and support. Thank you for your time. Back to you, Kurt, for questions and answers.
Great. We are now to the Q&A portion of the event. Remind the audience you can continue to ask questions all the way through the Q&A. We have some great questions, but we're always welcome to get more so we can take advantage of the expertise we have here. Let's start with Leon. There's a question about whether there is going to be a Snapdragon 810-based system on module.
Yes, I think that Tom kind of covered that in his portion of the presentation as well. And as he mentioned, one of the things we've done is certain processors, for example, like Snapdragon 810, where there were some specific applications, not necessarily in long-term embedded space, where we have enabled a SOM. For example, an intrinsic SOM based on the Snapdragon 810. So that is available. You can actually find it on Intrinsic's site and of course, talk to Intrinsic about it. But I would like to emphasize that, the core of our program of Snapdragon for embedded is that we have identified and designated certain processors from the Qualcomm broad roadmap. So if you look at the mobile portfolio of Qualcomm in the smartphone space all the way to a tablet device, we have a number of processors to cover all the different tiers in that space. What we are doing for embedded, because we want to prep when we want to enable and we want to scale, we have identified and picked certain processors from the core roadmap to bring into the embedded space. And as I mentioned, so far the ones that we have added to that embedded portfolio are Snapdragon 410 and 600. And with those, obviously, there are SOMs from our partners available. There is single board computers from our partners, as well as opportunity to create custom designs and procure the chipsets from our distribution partner, Arrow Electronics. The other thing that also differentiates the embedded products is that broad availability. So you have extended documentation. You have multiple OS. We have enabled certain middleware that work on these processors, as well as the broad ecosystem that we're creating using our Dragon Board.
Okay,
so
great.
I hope that answers the question.
Thanks. Tom, there's a great question here about if you have any commentary or examples of the type of physical product capabilities that can simplify the hardware design, whether it's incorporated at the system-on-chip level or at the software level, like software-defined radios were a big deal back for a while back. Are there various IoT sensor kinds of capabilities that fall in the same bucket that can be incorporated?
Good question. So in terms of the SoC and chipset integration and the SoC and chipset level, the Snapdragon is a chipset solution. It's not just the SoC.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with companion chipsets, PMIC for power control, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth partner chipsets. And then there are other I.O. And support chipsets for GPS, NFC, battery charging that can all be integrated into the physical product. In terms of other I.O. features and functionality, camera sensors, multiple displays, all native I/O features and functionality. Then there's there is an expanded ecosystem of silicon partners for things like Ethernet functionality. Another more typical embedded solution. So there's the core chipset functionality that comes with Snapdragon. It may not be just the SoC, but the companion chipset that comes from Qualcomm. But then there's an expanded features and functionality that can be supported with third-party silicon that are integrated. And we spend one of the aspects of our support with Qualcomm and with the development kits is working with the silicon vendors to enable support and compatibility with their chipsets in conjunction with the Snapdragon processors.
I see. Okay. Great. Let's start this. I'm going to lump a couple questions together and start with Leon and pass it over to Tom when he's done. A couple of good questions revolving around security and IoT issues. So, you know, with industrial IoT and those kinds of things, we're dealing with car automation. We're dealing with industrial assembly lines. We're dealing with robotics, things that can, you know, do a great deal of damage or needs to be highly reliable, mass transit, that kind of thing. Leon, how can we imagine the success of IoT and ensure the level of security we need for these kinds of applications? Are there things built into the Snapdragon that kind of help with permissions or authentication, things like that?
Sure. That's actually a very good question, and frankly, I expected that. And you know, it's definitely a concern, and you know, there's been a lot of news and press, obviously, about that as well. What I really like about our solution, and this goes back to kind of where we come from, which is the mobile smartphone space. And, you know, if you imagine for a device that you carry with you all day, you have all your information, you know, a lot of us have pretty much, you know, all of our personal information somewhere on our phone, security has been one of the highest priorities when we think about Qualcomm hardware and software. You know, I'm not a security expert, but, you know, having looked at our security you know, our security capabilities and what we call the Haven security platform. So this is kind of the marketing umbrella that really covers all the key dimensions of Snapdragon security. So there's the secure foundation, then you have obviously content protection, malware detection, and authentication all built on top of it. But if you look at the secure foundation on Snapdragon and the type of things that have built into it, you know, from Secure Boot to Trust Zone to all those, various different mechanisms. I think, you know, and I believe we have one of the best solutions because of that mobile heritage. And we're bringing all of that. The beauty of our model is we're taking technologies that we have invested in heavily to enable the smartphone platform, bringing all of those along with us into the embedded space. And I think security is one of the key ones and is where we're going to be very strong in this emerging IoT space.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. Tom, building on that, I guess there are some capabilities built into the chip and some of the middleware around that. Does security need to go all the way up through the application? And in terms of, you know, hacking attempts, denial of service kinds of things, can you comment on how you might be able to handle that within this realm?
It does, absolutely. And as Leon touched on, there are aspects of the chipset that support secure execution environments. So you're enabled. It's possible to sign your applications and ensure that services and message passing has been confirmed as secure, so that you don't have the option for a rogue application coming in and requesting data and being installed and requesting data that they shouldn't have access to. Mm-hmm. There are also aspects of particularly with an embedded product where you can add physical security by locking down ports. A lot of embedded products have a perhaps more limited use case. They're not general open platforms that you expect customers to install third-party applications on, perhaps. So there are aspects that you can do in terms of the physical design to lock down access to the platform so that you can't load a completely different BSP onto the platform. There are also, as been mentioned in relevant in the news recently, there are features and functionality in the hardware that are capable of full disk encryption, particularly with Android now almost mandating that from Android 6.0, you can support full disk encryption to secure the data that is stored on the device.
Okay. Great. And in terms of, there's a question about somebody needing a production monitoring system with live camera stream in that kind of, it sounds like it may be an industrial IoT space. Are there reference designs available for that kind of application, and maybe more broadly, are there resources that you can go find to be able to understand if there are reference applications for your specific use case?
In terms of camera recording, streaming, live inspection, all of the development kits available out there support that we offer support a camera as an accessory, as an option to get you up and running with a Snapdragon, understanding how the ISP works, what processing it offers, and then how you can go about encoding that with different media codecs, be it H.264, H.265, some of the Google VP8, VP9 codecs, and others. So, and then there are applications that you can find on the out of the open source community that will help with the streaming aspect of that video. Depending on the chipset that you select, will depend on what connectivity you've got and therefore what resolution, what frame rate video is possible to stream.
Okay. And building off that, Leon, in terms of the platforms itself, if you start with a dev platform, are there schematics provided, starting points so that they can do modifications, alterations for their final design?
Yeah, that's a great question, and to us, and again, going back to our goal to enable and scale, it's really important to give the developers, the makers, what they need to be able to design their product, also to test and debug, and having schematics is obviously really important. So if you go to our community board. That's the Dragon Board 410C. There's a couple of places where you can get documentation and resources. We have our developer.qualcomm.com. That's where you go and get Snapdragon specific documentation and tools. And we have a link, I believe, in the slide deck where you can go. It's the embedded computing section of Qualcomm Developer Network. You can see what has been made available for Snapdragon itself. There is another location where you can get everything you need for the development board, which is hosted on the 96 boards website. And on there, there's a number of interesting things that you will find anything from the software images to board level documentation, including schematics. So the answer is yes, but I wanted to expand on the two locations that you can go and really find the information you need, whether you're developing software or you're developing hardware.
Okay, great. Tom, in terms of IIoT, industrial IoT or IoT, is there any kind of preference or guidelines people can use to know which operating system might be better suited for their specific application for, like small form factor wearables, for example, versus industrial IoT applications? Any rule of thumb or lessons you've learned there?
I wouldn't say there's a rule of thumb. I would say that the top two favorites are definitely Android and Linux, based on the community knowledge, the third-party libraries, the examples that you'll be able to find of solutions and reference drivers and devices in the open source community for both platforms. Between which of those two you select, there are many things that can influence you one way or another. As I touched on in my presentation, the Android media framework, so if your IoT device is dealing with image or video data, then the Android frameworks are very advanced for that aspect, so it will give you a significant jump start on your development. Whereas Linux, those types of applications, there's nothing preventing that development. The support is there at the base level, but you're going to have to do a little bit more of the development yourselves in terms of to getting to the same level of functionality.
Okay. Great. Leon, how does Snapdragon Core differ from ARM Core in terms of, you know, Linux kernel and upstream of that? Like, maybe you can also expound a little bit on development tools and environments available for developing as well.
Yeah, sure. So there's a fairly long answer to that, but I try to maybe shorten it in the interest of time. So what we've done is, if you look at the broad Snapdragon portfolio, in some of the higher end, more premium smartphone processors, we have an architecture license with ARM. So and in certain processors at the premium end, we have created a core at our own custom core, still fully compatible with the ARM instruction set, but with more performance and better energy efficiency. So you would find that type of core on the Snapdragon 600, and still everything around Linux and around some of the tools that are available, compiler tools and debug tools that are available for ARM cores, would be compatible with that, you know, what we call the Crate core in the Snapdragon 600. When you go down to the Snapdragon 410, in that case, we've actually used an ARM Cortex A53 as is. So again, in that case, you have the same ARM core as is, and again, everything in terms of Linux kernel and all that is going to be available. Now, second part of the question, upstreaming. This again goes back to what we have been doing specifically for embedded processors, where we have been working with Linaro as a core member. So Linaro is the Linux on ARM consortium. We're one of the core members, and we have engineers on Linaro staff that are actively developing and upstreaming for Snapdragon into the main kernel. So we have a very strong commitment to upstreaming Linux for Snapdragon, and you'll see that on the Snapdragon 410 as well as 600.
Great. Tom, just in terms of trying to summarize the challenges, lesson learned, if someone wanted to take away the top couple things about designing connected solutions, what two things would you want them to come away from to be able to address difficulties, expediting prototyping or bringing up a system?
Good question. Top two or three. I think number one is that there's a large ecosystem of development kits and software solutions out there that will enable you to rapidly prototype a solution, both in terms of hardware and software functionality. Connectivity options for different peripherals, different connectivity options are well supported, both in terms of hardware I/O capabilities and software libraries, features, functionality, and applications. So I think that would be number one. A corollary of that would be to truly understand how your product differentiates from everything else on the application, and understanding what are the key differentiators for your product, and validating that with your proof of concept, such that you can really hone in on what matters and focus your attention on development on those key features
Okay, that makes sense. One of the great challenges, Leon, for OEMs, somebody is mentioning, is high resolution but compact displays. In terms of display suppliers and kind of maybe other kinds of sensors or I/O, how can people kind of identify suppliers that might be coupled with the Snapdragon in order to identify and get those kinds of things?
Yeah, great question. This is again one of those areas where I think our mobile smartphone heritage is really going to help, because if you look at the smartphone space, given the market share that Snapdragon has, you have a very strong and fairly large ecosystem of component suppliers that have enabled their parts and their components on the Snapdragon processor, including display and all the display drivers that have been developed for those types of displays that you mentioned. Now the challenge is we have obviously a number of different display and with various resolutions all the way to 4K resolution that have been enabled for Snapdragon. The challenge is how do we get those into more of the long term supply chain, and that's one of the areas that we work very closely with our distribution partner Aero Electronics. And the idea there is, as they offer Snapdragon into this mass market, into this broad market, also making sure that the component ecosystem around Snapdragon, from displays, from sensors, from cameras, all those things are also available, have been tested, have drivers have been developed, and also available for the long-term supply. So again, the displays are available. What we have been working with folks at Aero is how do we make that into a platform that can be made available to the broad embedded industry.
I'd like to sort of back up Leon's comments there in terms of the chips that support peripheral support with Snapdragon. One of the things that the development kits that we offer, one of their prime functions has been to verify the peripheral devices, be it cameras, displays, different sensors, be it temperature, pressure, those types of devices. The silicon vendors use the development kits, and we support them in validating their performance with the Snapdragon chipsets. So there is that ecosystem, though. We can provide information on specific, be it a display or an audio driver or a codec or a sensor, things like that, that are already supported and therefore would be prime candidate for inclusion in any specific IoT or embedded product.
Okay. Great. Unfortunately, we've reached the top of the hour. I want to thank Leon and Tom for sharing their insight and expertise on building intelligent connected products. We at Open Systems Media, Qualcomm, and Intrinsic want to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing excellent questions. We did not get to them all, but please feel free to reach out to our sponsor companies, and I'm sure they'll also be reaching out to you to answer those offline. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen, and a podcast version will also be made available there. Thank you for attending, and have a great day.